I found my old notes, and I wanted to make some comments about the part where you bathe the holy beings, and you use the mantra. I wanted to point out, there's a part in the mantra called Abhishekatam, right? And it means I bathe you. But Abhisheka has a different meaning also, and I thought you should know. What is that meaning, Abhisheka? It's the Sanskrit word for an empowerment, a secret empowerment, okay? And it means like baptismal pouring of water over your head or things like that, okay? It's like that. Then I told you I had some comments on the mantra for drying them off with a towel, which is verse 58. And I really worked hard on that mantra, and I wanted to talk about it with you, okay? What was the mantra? Om Hum Cham Shi. Say Om Hum Cham Shi. And then Akaya Vishadane Soham, which means I dry you off. But the first, why do they use these strange, they're called seed syllables, bija, sabin, and it means single Sanskrit syllables of great power. And so there are four of them here, Om Hum Cham Shi. And I wanted you to know what they mean, and I wanted to talk about them, okay? So, there's a text in the database which explains them. There should be five, okay? There should be five syllables. There should be an ah between the om and the hum, okay? So I don't suggest changing the jointure, and I checked the carving, and it doesn't have an ah, but I think it should have an ah, okay? So that's just something. I think the carving was mistaken a long time ago, and I think it's mispronounced. I believe it should be Om Ahum Chang Shi. Okay. Why? These are called Kusuki Sokshin. These are Om Ahum Chang and Shri. How many syllables? Yeah, these are five holy syllables, like power syllables. And then they're called Kusuki Sokshin. Sokshin means... is that a beam or air conditioning? I don't know. Yeah, it's a beam. Okay, that's called a sokshin. That beam. And so Mark is good at sokshin. He's in the sokshin business. Structural steel. So this is structural steel. In Tibetan architecture, which is kind of simple, there's one beam that goes across the house and holds up both sides of the roof, and that's called a sokshin. So it's like, sok means what? Srok. It means life, right? Ayur in Ayurveda, sok, okay? And then shing means tree or a piece of wood, okay? So sokshin means that beam, the beam that goes through the house and holds up the whole roof. And in Tibetan, that's an idiom. Start dictionary entry. Sokshin, okay. S-R-O-G-S-H-I-N-G. In Tibetan spelling, Sarata Sanara Soga Sok Shagikshi Nashi. Okay, Sokshin. Then this is an idiom, and Sok means life, life power, as opposed to lifetime, which has a different word in Tibetan but not in English. So we say, how old are you, how long have you lived, that we call that life. And we call life the power within a being, like the life in plants and the life in trees. But in Tibetan, there are two separate words. The word for lifetime is tse, T-S-E, sabim tse da tse, okay? Like tse ring means long life. He's the main character in Hari Rinpoche, okay? Because that was the name of Rinpoche's dog. Sok, as opposed to tse means how long you live. Like tse chok means or tse boom means a long life ritual. You see? Tse. But sok means the power of life within your body. Okay? That intangible thing called life within your body. Okay? So sokshin means the beam of the house which supports the whole thing. It's like your spinal column or something. Without that you would die. Okay? And without the sokshin, the house would fall down. It means something like what? What would you say? like, it's the crucial, it's absolutely crucial part of the roof. It's a crucial beam. But how do you say the one crucial beam? Linchpin. Who said that? That's damn good. Okay, linchpin means the most important single part that keeps the whole thing running. It's called suction, okay? So in the Yoga Sutra, what is it? Ariti. Dhruva, say Dhruva. Yeah? Dhruva means your central channel. Zhongmai. Right? The main channel that goes up to the body is called Sokshin. It's sometimes called Sokshin. This is the critical linchpin of your whole body. Okay? The linchpin of your inner body. The, what do you call it? Sushumna, or Uma. The central channel. Okay? It's called Dhruva. Dhruva. So this is the meaning. These are all the connotations of Sokshin. Okay? And, well, let's not end dictionary entry yet. So these five syllables are called Kusuki Sokshin. They're called the linchpin of the holy body. Okay? And they are sacred points that are like the axis of the body. You can say axis also. They are the axis of the body. Okay? So here we go. I think you can end the dictionary. These are five points along the axis of the body. The crucial axis of the body. Okay? Om, where do you guess Om is? Well, here, by the way, normally when you locate mantras in the body, the word in Tibetan for the first one is Chiwo, which means top of the head here. The center of the Sahasrara chakra. Okay, it's here. But sometimes in scriptures when they say here, they mean here. So you have to have a lama to tell you it's not the top of your head in this instance, it's the front of your forehead. It's not the top of your head in this instance, it's the front of your forehead. But the word in Tibetan is top of your head. Okay? Partly because you can't see this one when you're looking at somebody. Okay, so they'll put it here. So these are pretty much get mixed up sometimes in scripture. Okay? The first mantra, the first syllable's here. And what is it? Okay, good. Then there's a syllable here. By the way, this one's white, you see. Okay? And that's why we're doing the jewel thing. Alright. This one is, okay, and it's in the Kong Kong. We call Kong Kong. This is called Kong Kong. Kong Kong means a depression or an indentation. This Kong Kong here. And it's deep inside towards the spine. Okay. Om A. Right? Om A. And that's a red color. And then Hung. Where's Hung? Yeah, at the heart. A blue color. Behind the heart. Okay. Hung. Blue color. Om A Hung. Then they relate to the way that holy beings act. Okay, so that's a little difficult for us because we think the head is the locus of the thinking or the brain. But in Buddhism, in Asia, it's believed that the life, the mind is located at the heart. Okay, Xing is here, the mind. So the Hung is the mental process of a holy being. The Ah is the speech. That's easy. But just remember that the physical actions of a holy being are here. They are represented here with a white Om. So Om, Hung. That's why I believe a syllable is missing even in the carving. And maybe we can find an older carving. But there should be five syllables. The A is missing. But I didn't add it because I didn't want to mess with it. Okay? So sometimes we do that. We don't mess with scripture. We just say, I think it's wrong. Okay. Om, Ah, Hung, and then we have Tram. Tram is at the Tewa, that's the Tewa. The navel, okay, yeah, the navel chakra behind. So we have a nice Sokshin going, see? We have a nice axis going. And when you line up the three jewels, try to line them up on a stick, you see? Om is in the forehead, Ah is in the throat, and that means Hung has to be pretty far back. Behind the heart, okay? Don't paste them on the front of your body. That's fine. Okay? Om Ahung. So we have Chang. And then Shri. Shri is located at the Sangne, Say Sangne. Sang means secret, ne means place. Secret place means your dinger or your, anyway, sex organ, sexual organ is called Sangne. Okay. Where the chakra is, there is a debate, okay? But you can think of it either at the end of the sexual organ, in either case, or you can think of it deeper, like Muladhara chakra or something like that. Anyway, these are the five places. By the way, the text that I use is S0110, so if you ever care to look at it, it's very rare and very beautiful and very secret. So those are where these mantras go. Om, Ah, Hum, Cha, Shi. Okay? Those are the mantras in the, what are we on? What verse are we on? Yeah. No, I mean, what's going on here? We're drying them off. Okay? So, if you use that mantra, in theory, you would take the towel, wrap it on your hand, like this, okay? And then you pat those five places, and then you have dried them, because they don't need drying off. It's not like you have to do their toes and stuff, you know. So traditionally, in this practice, you would make a mudra. What's a mudra? It's a hand sign, right? Like Om Om Ah Hum Tam. Then you would go like this. You could even use a piece of cloth. And you could go Om Ah Hum Tam Shi, okay? And they're dry. Okay, you don't have to go like this. Okay? Okay. Now, in the Lam Rim, when Prabhupada Rinpoche gets to the drying, he changes it slightly, okay? And, you know, so you should know. He says, Jel, so he clarifies the word chiwo, which normally means here, but he says jal. This is jalwa, okay? The front of the forehead. Okay? Jalwa, jimba, sorry, jal, jin, tuka, pungo ni. Pung means your shoulders. Go means the, what do you call this? This part of the shoulder. Maybe we don't have a separate name for it. Rotator cuff. this part here. The pungo ni che. So this, he says, do their forehead, do their throat, do their heart, and then do their two shoulders like that. So you would go like, this, Om, Ah, Hum, Dham, Shi. This is kind of cool for the, if you care about that stuff. It's all connected somewhere. Ning ala rikpe. When you touch those five places, Om, Ah, Hum, Dham, Shi, okay? Then, Len Tam Che Kui Ning A Dute. All the wetness on their body collects. Just before you touch that, all the water on their body goes, you know, and then you just have to dry those five places. Okay, got it? Like the water all goes, and then you don't have to dry their legs and stuff like that. Okay. Now do they, Dak Chiwa Yin, and then you can, then you can dry that off. Rang ki chu che patar gojuk tam che tu chiwa. To towel yourself off from head to toe the way human beings do it. Dinda migu. You don't need to do that. They don't need that. They'll get themselves ready. Then you just go. Okay, and you're done. Okay, so Om Ah Hum Tam Shi. So to get five places, you got to add the Ah anyway. So I think we should add the Ah. Okay, and but if you, well, anyway, if you just go Om Hum Tam Shi, you get the same thing. You don't. Maybe the center is assumed. Om Hum Tam Shi. Then you get the R anyway. Okay. anyway, I thought it was cool. So that finishes the mantra. And I looked at the woodblock, and the woodblock is missing the ah, but that's a recent woodblock, so I don't know. Okay. Other notes. How long do we go for this class? To 11? Okay. We have a little, do you mind no PP for 20 more minutes? Okay. I made some notes to myself about the expression Yenlak Dun. What's Yenlak Dun? The seven limbs or the seven parts of the parrot, which is technically what you do just before you do your meditation. I'm talking now, I'm at verse 62, okay, and part 63, okay. And there were some comments about the idea of Yenlak Dun, and I thought it would be good to, I thought it'd be good to talk about them again. There was a famous early Tibetan Lama named Geshe Dulpa, 1,000 years ago, and he made the following statement about the seven-part practice. He said, if you do this brief practice of collecting good karma and removing bad, things that you never dreamed of happening in 100 years will come. Okay? So he says, don't think of it as something not too important. Don't think of it as something extra. He says it's extremely important. You can have meditation experiences that you couldn't get in 100 years. If you even just do the seven steps briefly. Okay. Then I thought, those of you who've studied Vajrayogini practice at Diamond Mountain, that's a 7-year course. There's a very famous verse in the sadhana, and I'm gonna just read it, okay? This is a very famous verse in the Vajrayogini practice. And it's the tantric version of the seven. Okay, there's a tantric version of the seven steps. So, what I'm trying to say is it's not unimportant. They considered it important enough to put it into the Vajrayogini Tantra. Okay, the same seven, but slightly different. Okay, but I can't teach you that till later. Okay, there are the same seven steps. So if they put them in the most important Tantra, it must be an important practice to do this meditation song before you meditate. Okay? And I'll teach you that someday when you get to Tantra. Okay. All right. There was a cool thing. There's a part in one of the texts that says, how do you go up in between bodhisattva levels? How do you get promoted between bodhisattva levels? But what's different at the different bodhisattva level? Yeah, you master different perfections. Like, we just finished the third one, so your patience was better, okay? Then there's an interesting comment. They say, there's another benefit to moving up to the bodhisattva levels is that each time you go up in a bodhisattva level, you have, 100 times more bodies to emanate. Okay? You can emanate 100 times more bodies. And like, do the bathing practice and do the prostrations and things like that. The higher bodhisattva you are, the more bodies you can emanate. Avatars? To make these offerings. Then he says, don't forget that, I like this comment, the function of the seven limbs is to make good karma and clean out bad karma just before you meditate, right? Then, I don't know if you remember, this is kind of a review of the last year, okay? We went through those seven. And he said it functions to ripen and pop your bad deeds like a blister. I don't know. Whenever I got a blister when I was a kid, my mom said, don't pop it. You know, let it, what do you call it? fester and let it, in Tibetan they say nimba, let it ripen. And then when it got big and puffy, then your mom would give you a needle. My dad was in the Navy. He did medical stuff. He would always, what do you call it? Sterilize the needle. He'd put it on the candle and then he'd pop the blister. So the process of doing these seven steps makes the blister get soft. It ripens the blister of what? Your bad karma, your old bad karma. Then you can pop it. Okay. I like that. With the good karmas, it makes them ripen on the, like, what do you call it? Vine-ripened tomatoes? Okay, like they're much better, right? You leave them on the vine, and then they get more and more ripe. And then just before they're ready to fall off, you cut them off with the vine, right? So with your good karmas, it ripens them like fruit on a tree. This will make your good karmas get very luscious and, what do you call, ready to eat, you know, juicy. It makes your good karmas juicy, and it makes your bad karmas ready to pop, okay? That's the selling point for the seven practices. Soksa mena lenne saben da. And then they say if you skip the seven steps before you meditate, it's like planting a watermelon seed, shikwa jong, and not putting any water on it, then things won't happen. Then sometimes, I don't know, those of you who have been in my class for a while, like Rob Haggerty, do you mind if I tell how you came to the first class? I mean, he's walking down the street in New York and saw a cute girl and followed her into our center. So who she was, we don't know. Who she really was, we don't know. That happened to James Conner also. He saw a cute girl with a book on the subway, and it was the Diamond Cutter. The old one with the red cover and the mandala on it. And then, I don't know, he got attracted to the girl or the book, I don't know. But he went to the bookstore and looked through the whole bookstore to find the book, just from the cover. Just from the picture on the cover, you know, and that's how he got. So it's always a girl. Okay. Yenla dun shepa perna. So I often say that, I have said in my classes, a lot of the things I say in my classes are coming from this book, this Lamrim, because I was fed this Lamrim for 30 years, you know. Every week, a couple times a week, I was fed this Lamrim. So a lot of the things I say come from that Lamrim. Then there's an idea in Buddhism that there are certain essential personality changes that have to take place in you. Your heart has to change in a certain number of ways. Your personality has to be adjusted in like 30 different ways. Or you cannot get enlightened. It's not possible. So there's an idea that your spirit is like a car engine, you know. So I always tell people about this Volkswagen. Rinpoche had a Volkswagen with 300,000 miles on it, 280,000 miles. And then it kept breaking, and then we used to take it to this Russian mechanic who would cheat us, and he didn't know I knew Russian. And he would talk to his friend and say, let's cheat on this, you know. And I'd be like, yeah, the ocean hotter, you know. Anyway. Then finally, Rinpoche said, you learn to fix it. And I'm like, Rinpoche, I don't know anything about cars. You're American. Cars were invented in America. You know, you should fix it, you know. And I'm like, okay. So I remember I took his Volkswagen apart one day because it was broken in Bochito, right? And when I finished, I was like, I did it, you know, I put it back together. And then I noticed this big bolt is on the ground, you know, and I'm like, I wonder if it needs that bolt, you know. And I wonder where it came from, and it, probably somewhere inside the engine, and I wonder if I should, you know, do anything about it. And then I realized, you know, the car companies don't spend money if they don't have to. If there's a bolt in the engine, you need it. You know, and Buddhism is the same, okay? In your spiritual career, in your journey along the path, there are certain indispensable elements without which it will not run, okay? The car will not run. That's why you need a teacher who knows all those elements, okay? You can't just have a teacher who understands compassion, or a teacher who just understands meditation, or a teacher who just understands emptiness. They have to know the whole shtick, because all of those pieces are indispensable. You can't leave one out and expect to get enlightened. It won't happen. It won't work, okay? So, I've taught that from time to time over the last X years, but here's where it comes from, okay? It comes from this subject, this verse, verse 63, okay? And in the commentary to that verse, they say, Yenlak Dun Shepa Perma. Why do they talk about seven parts to the practice? Chuki yanak dundang dembe shingta, de yanak chigma tsangwa. If you have a, he says a carriage, right? Because they didn't have cars. Okay, the cars came a little after Pabongkor Rinpoche. The first car didn't reach Tibet until I think 1950 or something like that. So, or something like that. So he says, when you have a carriage, shingta yanak chigma tsangwa ni, if you leave out one part of the carriage, mindo, it ain't gonna work. It won't go anywhere. Okay? And he's talking about these seven steps. Don't leave one out. Do all seven. Okay? Chaksa Welshi, Churchi, Shapanda, Jesu Yiram, like that. These are the necessary steps. Okay? All seven are necessary if you expect to have a good meditation. Okay? Otherwise it won't work. Diriyang yin la chik ma tsang na sak jang ne du mindo wa yin. Ne du mindoa, you won't hit the ne. Yeah, it's not gonna work. There'll be some crucial thing missing. Okay, ne du mindoa. All right. Then he starts the prostration, which we did yesterday. We got into the prostration. We didn't finish it. I have some more notes about the prostration. We probably won't finish the prostration. We'll have to keep prostrating until next time we meet. Okay. By the way, Tibetans do it as exercise. My Lama did it his whole life. He did like, I don't know. It's hard to do more than 20 full prostrations. So they have a special board and they have, hand gloves and they slide on this board. It's like what the ballet teacher did to us the other day. It's very unpleasant. Okay. Then there's a footnote in this practice that I thought, I'm just taking out sexy stuff for you. It said, you are not restricted in this, when you hit this part in the meditation song, which is verse 64, you don't have to think you are restricted to your current body. You don't have to think you are restricted to your current body. You can use all the bodies you've ever worn before, okay, which is countless bodies. Okay, you've had every kind of body. You've been president of the United States countless times. And it was called the United States. It was on a different planet, but it's okay. And you've been, every guy here has been Miss America countless times. Okay? Okay? Just, then, so you have any body you want is at your disposal. Okay? I've been Arnold Schwarzenegger countless times. You know, I can have any kind of body. You can have any kind of body. You can put on different bodies and do the prostration. Then tomorrow you can put on a different body and do it in your mind, right? In your imagination. Try out different bodies. Like, how does an octopus prostrate? I don't know. But you can do it. You can try all kinds, okay? It's cool. I mean, it's cool. What's the kind? Terminators? What do you call it? Transformer. You can be that big Transformer guy and do a prostration. You can be Mr. Lego. And who's that guy? Anyway, you understand. You can be anyone you want because you have been. You have rights to that body. It was copyrighted in the, okay. Alright. Then we got down, I did look up Dombipa to see if there was any easy story to tell you about him, but I didn't find any easy story, so next time, okay. There is a sexy story, I can't find it, but I'll keep trying. We got, we got down to verse 67 in the prostration, and it said, realize Father and Son at the end of the, which lineage? Yeah, emptiness lineage. And then I said I wasn't sure which Father and Son. It could be Jetsonkapa and his two main disciples. But I looked it up, and Nick helped me also. The poster, the ancient carving of the lineage tree, in this place, is Lord Atisha and Gomtunje. So that's the Father and Son. Okay. In this case. And I checked it in some texts. So it's Lord Atisha and Gomtunje. Which is kind of interesting, because they're the next ones. The next verse also starts with them. You see? So it kind of ties together. Then he goes into the Kadampa Lamas. Okay. So Kadampas are the early Tibetan Lamas, right? We're on verse 68. And the Kadampas were the first Buddhists of our tradition in Tibet. There were earlier Buddhists, but they were sort of hit and miss. Like, there's a tradition that a book fell out of the sky in 800 AD, 200 years before the Kadampas, and landed in the Tibetan king's hands. And he couldn't read it, and he didn't know what it was. But he put it in a temple, and they used to prostrate to it, and, you know, I don't know how it got there. Maybe it fell out of a plane or something. So there was some Buddhism in Tibet before the Kadampas. But for our lineage, the Kadampas are a big deal. Okay. So Lord Atisha came, as we talked about in detail, right? He came from India, started teaching in Tibet, and then the first Tibetan student was Gomtunje. He's remarkable because he was a lay person. So really, the Tibetan lineages begin with family people. Okay? And the early, as I said, the early Dharma centers were founded by family people long before monasteries started in Tibet. So monasteries came later, and this big concentration of power and wealth in monasteries came later. And then that created a problem in Tibet. So I think we should learn from that also. Okay. Kadampa. Then in this verse, he mentions the four high practitioners. In Tibetan, it's called Myeongjor Nambashi. What's Myeongjor? Yogi, okay, Myeongjorpa, Yogi Nambashi, Shi, the four yogis. And then he calls the three close brothers. So, I'm just gonna give you their names because I want it to be complete, right? I want you to know everything. So when you teach it, you can do so responsibly. So one of your students is gonna ask you, who's the four yogis? And you're gonna say, I don't know. I didn't take notes that day. It was a smaller room. Something like that. Myeongjor Nambashi. So I'm quoting from another Lamrim text. Myeongjor Nambashi ni Myeongjorpa Ame Changchu Rinchu. So the first one's name is Ame Changchu Rinchu. Ame Changchu Rinchu. He's been quoted earlier in our text. I don't remember for what, and I'm not going to look it up right now. But I'll tell you next time. Ame Changchu Rinchu. These are all Kadampas. These are all 1,000 years ago. These are early Geshe's. The second one is Gunpowa. Gunpowa. Then his name was Wangchu Gyaltsen. His monk's name was Wangchu Gyaltsen. Gunpowa means guy who hangs out in the monastery. Okay. But we call him Gunpa. Third one is Shirab Dorje, Wisdom Diamond. Shirab Dorje. And the last one is Chakdar Tumba Jambe Lodra. You can say Jambe Lodra. Jambe Lodra. Chakdar Tumba means he was the teacher from a place called Chakdar. Okay. But those are the four yogis. Okay. You should just know their names. I'll repeat their names. First one is Ame Changchu Rinchu. Ame Changchu Rinchu. The second one is Gunpowa Wangchu Gyaltsen. The third one is Sherab Dorje. And the fourth one is Chakdar Tumba Jambe Lodra. Then there's a footnote, okay? Do you care? I don't care. I care. So, you have to sit here anyway. there was a tradition that misnamed the third one. Okay, so you might see the third one called something else in a text, and it's considered a mistake. So just so you know, there was a famous lama called Lok Lekpa Shirab. Lok Lekpa Shirab. And then some people confused him with Sherab Dorje. And they're not the same person. Okay? Sherab Dorje is considered the correct one. Mm-hmm. Alright, the three, what do we have? Three close brothers. Sorry. Might be the flowers, I don't know. Okay. But that's okay, I still like them. Potowa is the first one. Potowa. These are all early Geshe's, 1,000 years ago. Potowa. Second one is Puchungwa. And the third one is called Chengawa. They are called the brothers because they were the main disciples of Dromtunche, okay? They took over after Dromtunche, after that lay person. These three, and they were sort of like three Dharma brothers. They got along very well, and they helped spread Dromtunche's teachings. If you care, Potowa was considered the main one, and the other two were considered his little brothers. Okay? So Potowa. So when we trace the lineage, we often say, who is Lord Atisha's teacher? Serlingpa, Sivana Dvipa, Guru. And then it goes to Lord Atisha, and then it goes to Dromtunche, and then it goes to the three brothers, and namely Potowa. Okay? You should know, we believe you should know your lineage, okay? We don't believe you should get up in yoga class and say, you know, I heard this in a book somewhere. Okay? You should say, this is my lineage. This is, I can tell you the 23 teachers back to Atisha. And it's authentic. I didn't make it up. This is an ancient tradition which has worked for many people. And I didn't mess with it. It's what do you call it? Authentic. It's pure. And I can name the teachers all the way back. Like that, you can name them. You can learn them. Okay. We say their names once every 2 weeks for good luck. Okay. We recite their names every 2 weeks just to remember. Because it's offending and because they were kind to take good notes on Camelback Avenue on March 16th, you know what I mean? To remember how hard they worked. To video everything and edit the video carefully on their new computer. And, you know, it's to remember the kindness that they took the trouble to pass it on correctly. They took the trouble to learn it well and to pass it on correctly. And then, you know, obviously it's my hope that you become the next lineage holder, okay? And lineages split at that point. You know, they'll say, I'm Rebecca's lineage, you know. They'll say to the yogini who flies in the sky, smashing all cars around her. You know, I mean, her lineage will go down a different family, what do you call it, branch, right? And then Andrew and Anatole, who created the nectar of immortality from raw chocolate mints, you know, and, you know, there will be, verses. There will be verses, okay? Alright? And there will be stories, and they'll be exaggerated, okay? About each of us. Okay. I'm gonna teach you one last verse, cause it's good. Is it 11 o'clock that we're supposed to start? Okay, but there's, I'll give you one last verse because it's very auspicious. Okay? The next verse, 69. Kangzhen Shinde Soje, say Kangzhen. You can see the pronunciation, right? Kangzhen Shinde Soje Tsongkhapa Ngotop Rigpe Wangchu Gyatsabje hands at your chest, donga, tembe, tapo, kiruje, yabse, yupa, chela, chakselo. Okay, very, 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 very famous verse, okay? It's also the best grace you can do. And this was Rinpoche's favorite grace before food, before eating food. So if you want a grace to do, I think it's graceful to do a grace, okay? I think it's elegant. Instead of just grabbing food and stuffing it in your mouth, it's just elegant to pause. Like in a restaurant, you pause, you think about the food, you offer it, and then you eat with gusto, you know. Lama Sopa loves to do graces. I heard he can go on for an hour and a half on the grace. I heard he took a long plane flight. They offered him a meal. He started grace. And then they said, like an hour and a half later, they're like, we're landing now. We have to take the food. And he hadn't started eating yet. He's still doing his grace, you know, and they took the food. He never ate the food. He said, I got the essence out of it. I got the most important thing out of the food, which is I offered it. I didn't get to eat it. So this is a very famous grace, except you have to change the last line. Okay, so I'll help you on that. But here we go. Let's go through the meaning of it, and then we'll stop and start to prepare our offerings. Okay. Kangchen, this Kang is spelled with an extra S. Those of you who care, start dictionary entry. Kanga Kang means what, where, who, or when. Kanga Kang is an interrogative particle. But when you add an S to it, Kangasa Kang, G-A-N-G-S, it changes meaning to snow. It becomes the word for snow. And in Tibet, there's two main words for snow. One is Kawa, and one is Kang. Okay? So Kawa and Kang are synonyms. So what we have here is Kang. The most famous use of the word Kang is in Kangjin, which means having snow, or snowy. And it's a reference to Tibet. It's a nickname for Tibet. They're called Kangchen, means Tibetan, or snow mountainy, Himalaya. Okay? In Sanskrit, it's Himalaya. Okay. Stop dictionary. So Kangchen means in the land of snows. Xing Ta means, what's Xing mean and what's Ta mean? Xing means wood or tree, Vrksha, right? And Ta means horse. Xing Ta means wooden horse, which is the Tibetan word for a cart. A cart, coach. It's called a coach with the horses, right? It's called a shimpa. Sul means system. Okay? Saratasanarasanasa. J with a prenasal means to open. We had J as to divide or to make categories. And here it means to divide the wall in with a door. You see what I mean? When you open a door, you split the wall. You see, it's a cool word, J. So Sulje means to start a new system, to introduce a new system. Shingde Sulje, start dictionary entry, okay? Shingde Sulje or Shingta Sulje, it's both ways you see it. Sha giku shinga shing, radata ta, agiku ite, sarata sa nanasola sul, aum baya tanja demuje da je. That's a Tibetan spelling. English spelling. S-H-I-N-G, R-T-A with an optional apostrophe I, S-R-O-L, apostrophe B-Y-E-T. Okay, say Shingda, Silje. This is an idiom in Buddhism, and it's a very, very crucial idiom. It's very, very important. And it means any person who comes along between the time of the Buddha and now, and makes a huge, major contribution to Buddhism. Who makes a breakthrough in the presentation of Buddhism, not the content, right? Why? The person who taught it the first time was omniscient. They saw all things in the universe. they saw that you would pick up this book and start a new presentation. So it's not like they didn't think about it, okay? But throughout history, there have been extraordinary individuals who make a major contribution to how you present it to the next generation. So, you know, and today we'll be playing rock and roll, and that's very appropriate. And 100 years ago, they were banging on cymbals, okay? When I first came to the temple, I came from Princeton. I was in the chapel, you know, with the organ and the choir, you know. The next day, I'm in this temple, and they're going, bung, 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 and I'm like, ugh, you know, like, couldn't you just play organ music, you know? And every culture, every generation needs a different music. They need a different presentation. They need different clothes. They need a different hairstyle. And it's very crucial that you adjust to the, we're going to see it later. You have to adjust to your times. You can't, or you teach yoga. You teach Buddhism and you're a yoga teacher. But you can't like be a college professor and turn on the younger generation who wants to do yoga. So you should manifest as a yoga teacher. It's better, okay? Or you should wear a suit if you have to wear a suit with a tie. And the next day you should wear yoga clothes, and the next day you should wear a robe. And that's appropriate, okay? So, Soljay, Shingda Soljay means people who come along and make a major new presentation adjustment, okay? Traditionally, there are only two in India, okay? Death. Yeah, they say Arya Sangha and Arya Nagarjuna, right? Right? You thought it was possible. I don't think so. I think it's Arya. Anyway, for the emptiness teachings, the presentation by Nagarjuna was groundbreaking. And the presentation by Asanga of the love teachings was groundbreaking. Okay, so they are called groundbreakers or something like that? I sometimes call them innovators, but I think it's more like a groundbreaker. Cutting edge presenter. There have only been two in the history of Buddhism so far, in 2,500 years, okay? But here, they say, Kangsheng Shingde Soje Tsongkhapa. Groundbreaker from the snowy land. So it's a big compliment. It's like, you're the third groundbreaker to come in 2,000, at his time it was like 2,000 years. That means how important he is to Buddhism in this world. And it's not an exaggeration, in my opinion. It's perfectly justified. His innovation in how to present the teachings, he deserves to be considered the third innovator or the third groundbreaker in 2,500 years. Okay? He deserves to be called Shingda Soje, okay? I think. What was his big innovation in the presentation? Lamia. That's what you're studying. Cool? That's cool, right? Alright, Shingde Soje Tsongkhapa. Then they go to his main disciple, his right-hand man, and if you're looking at a tanka, he'll be on the right, which is the left. Why? Yeah, you always think of his right, not the person who's standing in front of the painting. You always put yourself in his shoes, and then right or left. So be careful when you translate a book. You might have to reverse it for a Western audience. On Tsongkhapa's left is Gyaltsenje. In the Tibetan, on Tsongkhapa's right. Because from inside the painting, it's on the right. Okay, got it? And that's always means the right-hand man. And in Buddhism, in some traditions, right-hand means primary. Okay? Right-hand man. So, who was Gyaltsenje? By the way, Gyaltsenje means, his real name was Dharma Rinchen, okay? Dharma Rinchen. And that Dharma is not the Dharma in the Sanskrit Dharma. It's a Tibetan Dharma, and it doesn't mean Dharma. It's just a personal name, okay? It can be related to spreading the teachings, but it's not D-H-A-R, it's D-A-R. Okay? But they call him Gyaltsenje. Why? Yeah, Gyaltsenje means throne holder. After Jasankapa passed away, he was the Gyaltsenje. Do you remember this scene in the paint? He takes his yellow hat off and throws it like a frisbee to Gyaltsenje. And then everybody says, oh, he's passing his lineage on to Gyaltsebu. And Gyaltsebu is like, caught it, perfect. And then that, then he passed away shortly after that. So, he's the Gyal, he is the Gyaltsebu. You see what I mean? He's not Gyaltsebu, he's the Gyaltsebu. J means what? Lord. So sometimes J comes before, sometimes J comes after. Okay? You can say J Tsongkhapa, or you can say Gyaltsebu J. He's a Wangchuk. He's a Wangchuk means Ishvara. Here it means absolute Lord. Like, Ishvara makes planets in his spare time. Okay? Like, he can go to, by the way, you deprived me from St. Francis Jazz Breakfast today. He'd go to St. Francis Jazz Breakfast and take a little piece of the Florentine egg biscuit and make a planet, you know? That's Ishvara. That's how powerful Ishvara is. I don't know why I'm thinking about that. Then he's the Lord of Rigpa. Okay, Mudok Rigpa. Say Mudok Rigpa. Extremely rare and difficult expression. In the most common prayer ever done in Tibet, the most common grace in Tibet has an impossible word in it that nobody knows what it means. If you ask any Tibetan, they'll say, I don't know what it means. Okay. So, Mu means Mupo. What's Mupo? A thing, but more specifically a functioning thing, something that does something. So a computer is a Mupo. A car is a Mupo. Okay. A handkerchief is a Mupo. A cup is a Mupo. Okay. Thing that does something. The Sanskrit is Pama. In a general sense, it can mean anything, okay? But here, it mainly functioning thing, okay? Since we're late, we might as well be more late. What's the definition of a Mupo? Huh? Anything that performs a function. Say Dinche? Nupa. Dinche? Nupa. Lopotini. Dinche Nupa? Sorry. Dinche Nupa? Lopotini. Dinche Nupa Lopotini. Okay, good. Like, it's like your name in the monastery. If you don't know that, you shouldn't even walk into the debate ground because you're gonna get killed. Okay? It's a frightening place in the debate ground. Okay, Mutop. So, Mupo Top. What, you know Top from Top Shi. The power or force, okay? Rigpa means logic. With the S it means logic, right? So he was the absolute Lord. He was like the creator God of Mutop Rigpa, of logic. So the whole thing means, Mutop Rigpa means logic. He was the creator God of all logic, okay? But why do they call logic the power of the thing? Why do they call logic the power of the thing, you see? And that's what you can't find in any book. It's an oral tradition, okay? It's very difficult. Then the classic example is, say, Dudengi, Lala, Che, Meyote, Dudengi, Trouble, you bitch. Consider a faraway mountain pass over which you see a plume of smoke. Fresh, billowing smoke. Okay. Meyote. What's that mean? There must be a fire going on there. It's like you drive around Phoenix and you see a huge black cloud. It's like, there's a car on fire and something. Okay. Tua shuchembo yubeche. Because there's, tua lolowa yubeche. Because there's billowing smoke, like huge billows of black smoke. So there must be a fire going on under the smoke. Can you see the fire? Can you deduce the presence of the fire? So that's logic. That's the purpose of logic. Why do Buddhists study logic? Did you have a past life? So you can't see it directly at first, but you can deduce that you had a past life because you came into this life with a certain face. Everybody's proud of their face, you know, or sad about their face, but it wasn't your fault, okay? Those who have a beautiful face, you can't take credit for it, but we do, right? And those who don't have such a beautiful face, don't worry about it. Somebody else made your face, okay? It wasn't you. Why do people have different faces? Duh! Because before the face came out of your mom, the causes were planted by somebody else, okay? So, based on the fact that you have a face, we can say you had a past life. Okay? That's all. It's mutop. The power of your, that's the power of your face. Get it? The face has the power to allow me to deduce that something happened before. Okay? There's a power in the face. The current face has the power to inform me or to imply that I had a past life. Got it? So logic is sometimes called the power of stuff. The power of things. Because the smoke has a power, what? It allows you to deduce the following. Okay? If you have the faculties to interpret it correctly, the smoke has the power to allow you to see a fire in your mind's eye. And for spiritual stuff, that's essential. Logic is essential. There's so many spiritual things you can't see with your eyes. You must use lutop. You must use the power of the things which you can see to extrapolate the things you cannot see. And if you can't do that, you'll never be a big practitioner. You'll never get enlightened. Not possible. We need to develop the capacity to deduce things correctly. As a Buddhist, logic is like super sexy. Okay? Cause if you develop that muscle called reasoning, you can see all kinds of stuff that other people can't see. Okay? Because of the power of the things you can see. Got it? Mutoblikpa. Very rare word, very rare idea. Okay? Who was the king of that? Gyaltsebje. This is a praise of Gyaltsebje. So Gyaltsebje wrote a commentary to Dhammakirti, Pramanavartika. Very, very famous. Okay? We have winter debates we study that book for 3 months every year for 25 years. Okay? Then we have inter-monastic winter debates, so called Jangguncha. For 1 month, we debate all day, and many days all night. It's called Tempe Damcha. It means all night long. All night. We debate all night, and then we don't sleep, and we keep going in all day. Under the sun. And, it's cool. You lose your voice about 6 days into it. And everybody's going around. And your hands are bleeding. Your hands split open, and then when you go like this, you spray blood in the other guy's face. You know, and it's like, awesome. Anyway, at the winter debates, if you go for a month, and these are competitions between the monasteries, each monastery sends a team of 50 guys, you cover about 5 pages in a month, debating all day and often all night. You cover 5 pages of Gyaltsebje. That's how hard it is. That's how he's a Wangchu. What? He's a god of logic, you know. It takes a month of constant debating to understand the first 5 pages. Okay? Very difficult, extremely difficult, and deep, beautiful, sexy. Okay? Now, sorry, we're running over. say, Donga, Tembe, Dapo, Kedubje. So, Kedubje is Jetsu Kapa's other famous student. So there are 3 famous guys. They're called Yabse Sum. It means the spiritual father and the 2 spiritual sons. And together, they are considered the Sokshin of our tradition. The axis, or the main beam, something like that. The crucial beam, as it makes up. There must be some word in structural, the beam that holds up all the other beams. Yeah, it's the ridge, and then all the other beams are leaning on that big beam. It's the main beam. So they are considered the Sokshin of Gelugpa. You guys are Gelugpas, okay? Sorry. Dalai Lama's lineage. You are the lineage of Dalai Lama's. Okay? Jetsun Kapa's lineage. So he's going to praise Kedubje because we are in the middle of a prostration, right? Do and not means what? Yeah, open and secret teachings. Open and secret teachings. Dongak. Demba means the teachings, okay? Dakpo means like you're the owner. Dakpo means like the person who owns a house and rents it to you, or the person who owns a car is a Dakpo, okay? So it contains the word dark, right, which means self. So dark pole means, like, I don't know how you say that in English. Like a good football player, so he owns the football field. You see what I mean? Like, nobody can stop him. He can run anywhere on the field he wants, because he owns it. You know, he, like, owns the field. He owns the game. You know, so he's like Dark Pole. He owns all the sutras in Tantra. So K2J had an extraordinary ability to... He wrote extraordinary commentaries on the open teachings, but he also wrote extraordinary teachings on the secret teachings, especially Kala Chakra. Okay, he was a great Kala Chakra teacher. Okay, so he's called... he owns the open and secret teachings. Okay. By the way, K2J also wrote a logic text which ain't too shabby, and I think it's more appropriate for Westerners. It's easier than Gelsenji's. You don't have to spend a month on the first 5 pages. You can read it and get a very good overview of logic. You know, so I think we should try to translate that. I think his book is more helpful than Gelsenji's book for most people. Gelsenji's is like an acid trip, and you know, I read somewhere that what's his name, Edgar Allan Poe, always drank some wine before he wrote. And to read Gelsenji's, you have to be in an altered state of mind. You have to drink some wine or beer or something. You have to be in an altered state of consciousness to read Gelsenji. But K2J, you can sit down and read like a book, and you can study it. So I think that'd be useful for Westerners. I'm kind of picking books like that for Westerners. Okay, last thing. Yabse Gyupache La Chakselo. Yabse means the father and his two spiritual sons. Gyupache means, we studied Che the other day, Tangchepa, along with, okay? So he's bowing down to the father, to the two sons, and the Gyu, the lineage, along with all the teachers who have come down from them, of whom you are the most recent, of whom you are the latest ones, okay, as of today. Okay, you are the latest ones. You're at the end of that lineage, okay? Okay. Chakselo, I bow down to you. Okay? I bow down to you, Chakselo. If you want to do it as a grace, and then I promise we'll stop, okay? If you want to do it as a grace, here's the proper fourth line. Okay. Kanchen ke bitsukin sangkapa mudra bende wa shingasana dhanatani dhabi chakha kongsa gyawa yasi summa gyawa yabse summa chakapa gyawa yabse summa chakapa hu gyawa yabse summa chakapa hu. Got it? You change the fourth line. Then it means I offer you my hamburger, or I offer you my scrambled eggs, whatever it is. Okay? And it is the most famous grace in our lineage. So you should learn it. You should do it. Even in English. You can do it in English. You can change the last line to, you would change the opening lines in English. You would say, I make this offering to the victors, father and sons, the three victors, you can say. I make this offering to the three victors, the father and his son, the father and his son, okay? And then that becomes a grace. And you should learn it. It's the most famous grace there is. And you shouldn't eat food without offering it. You should not eat food without offering it first. You should offer it first. Sun, meaning three. S-U-M. Sun la, shapapu. Sun la means to the three. L-A. S-U-M, L-A. Sun la, shapapu. Okay? Good? Got it? Okay? Alright. It's time to rock and roll. Nicole, you want to do? We taught 10,000 people last year in DC. I think it's around 10,000 people. And we have to teach them general things because we don't see them for very long and we don't know them very well and they're often not Buddhist people. But 4 times a year I get to do deep stuff and to the people who are most serious. So you are the cream of those 10,000 people, okay? And it's a pleasure to teach you, and it's a pleasure to see your dedication. Let me do this. Thank you for that. Keep going, okay? So you can be the next part of the movie. Because you're the ones who have to hold it, okay? Those guys are going to go make money or have a baby with the stuff, which is fine. You should also do that. But then you're going to go deeper also. Okay? So you're the cream, and I have a lot of hope in you, and I hope you work hard.